So, right, so we better get some arithmetic. So, basically, there is no, if you like, universal way of doing arithmetic, because to get an arithmetic, you better start with a state and change it. Well, that's easy enough, because things interact with each other. So spins interact with each other. And when one spin flips, which is the nature of the value of a data point flip, usually the interaction between spins, the other spin may or may not flip, which will be, which with suitable strength of the interaction, we can then build these fundamental logic circuits. So just the fact that quantum physics, quantum systems are built out of interacting particles says, at least in principle, we cannot build one computer, but lots of different computers which will just differ in the nature, in the particular interaction that we exploit to build such a system. And I've already mentioned that we can find out which state the system is, which is just effectively an I/O capability, by sending in a photon. And that's sort of almost the end of the theory of quantum computers, because as this scurrilous article in Physics Today pointed out, it's essentially impossible to build a serious-sized quantum system which has got enough control on it that you could conceive of computing anything of any interest to anybody today. So we wait for engineers of the future to be able to produce and control systems which allow us. However, the last few remarks on quantum computers note the following, that in the classical world, a system is either, if a system has two states, is either on or off. Now, one of the features of quantum physics is that the fundamental description of a quantum system is not the state of it, it's its wave function, which is, and then the square of the wave function gives the probability that it's in a particular state. And so there are a wave function that says that the system is in a spin is in the up state, there's a wave function that says the spin is in a down state, but there's also a perfectly good wave function which says it's half of the time in the up state and half of the time in the down state. So these so-called qubits, which are these quantum bits which are intrinsically zero or one, inevitably carry with them some sort of nifty new type of logic, which is these either-or logic. They're either in one or the other. And technically these would be called coherent states. And there is a description by Seth Lloyd of how coherent states can give you different types of compute capabilities. An obvious example is random numbers. Namely, if you have a system that you know is in one of these coherent states, which is equally often up or down, then you only have to measure that system, and when you measure such a system, you'll get a state which is either up or down with equal probability. So such a physical system gives you automatically a random number generator. And you may know there is the only random number generators you have in digital computers are synthetic. They just generate such a complicated number that it's essentially random, so-called pseudo-random number. We'll discuss that. Feynman notes that such computers are actually have some obvious, not so surprising capabilities of simulating quantum systems, because the world is a quantum world. You just usually can ignore its quantum effects, but if you are going to study any fundamental physics or actually even a lot of fundamental chemistry, you must simulate quantum systems. And so these qubit computers, because they're inherently quantum mechanical, could provide incredibly fast algorithms. So this will be a really nifty place for algorithm people to work. So that's the end of quantum computing.